crime stories and how you can help to prevent it. It's time for Beat and the Badge with Melissa Sheketoff and Gary McNamara, only on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
How many of you live by the golden rule, don't talk to strangers? Was that a rule in your house, Gare?
Yeah, absolutely was. One of the best rules was that.
Seriously?
Well, yeah, don't talk to strangers. I mean, that was the, you know, I don't necessarily think it would apply now, but certainly growing up, it was one of those things that was honed into your head that you won't talk to strangers.
I mean, I have that rule for my kid. Like, don't talk to people.
Right.
Right?
Don't talk to anybody.
It's better that you just don't talk to anybody.
Well, life is easier if we just don't talk.
Right.
That's right.
Yes. You know what? I think we're done. So we're going to walk away. No, I really do think that is a rule that every single household, don't touch the hot stove and look both ways when you cross the street, right? I mean, those are just very common rules. But I got to be honest, Garrett, from a news standpoint, I am so tired of the stranger danger, don't talk to strangers, because I think it's kind of archaic a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I thought about it a lot, too. I think that, and it's probably part of the cop in me, but because we experience it a lot. But I think that in some ways, it was easy for our parents and you and me to say that to our kids.
Yeah.
It's like we're covering it. Almost like there's a parent manual and you go down this list of saying, what should I be doing? Yeah, beyond the terrible twos and all the other things,
right,
and changing diapers and whatever else. It's the, okay, we're at that stage now where I have this checklist of things I have to say,
right,
and I have to hone in. And one of them is, don't talk to strangers.
Yeah.
And okay, it's a checkbox.
Yeah, exactly. But the reason I think it's kind of archaic is because we just do that. We sort of blanket over that, but we don't recognize that strangers are not what they used to be. I mean, I don't know. When I hear stranger, and maybe this is just because of working in news, when I hear stranger and my news hat isn't on, I'm always thinking of sort of that caricature that you would see coming out of the woods, you know, I don't know, what do you call it? Boogeyman-ish kind of thing?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the boogeyman.
That's what I'm always thinking is stranger.
That's right.
So as a mom, I'll be like, you know, when you see this not real character approach you, run the other way, Chase, right? I mean, that's what we're thinking. But that's kind of insane because we've been seeing in, you know, just where, you know, I'm reporting in Connecticut, you know, stories of, I hate to go there, but we'll hear about teachers or coaches or, you know, people that are familiar to your kids becoming stranger danger, if you will. So I don't like that term stranger because it tends to not be boogeyman.
Well, that's right. And so when we start to look at that and even think about as a kid, like I remember hearing that, and that's what I would immediately go to, would be a stranger is that boogeyman type person that's going to come out of the woods or approach me somewhere.
Mm.
And what we start to realize is we don't really have a good definition of what a stranger is. We don't, and so certainly our kids don't.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know who is a stranger. I don't know, because people that we think are strangers that we're trying to protect our kids from,
mm-hmm,
we may not be, because the kids are not thinking of them as strangers.
Well, are we doing a disservice?
That's right.
I mean, it was funny because, so Gary likes to give me a hard time, and I was telling him the other day that I really love the crossing guard at my son's school. He's really nice. He's such a nice man for 3 years now. I will always wave to him. He's super sweet. He knows what my car is. He knows when my mom is going to pick up my son. He knows what my son looks like. But you asked me if I knew his name. I don't know what his name is. And so I don't think of him as a stranger. And again, let me be very clear. I'm not putting anything out there that, you know, the figures that we're talking about are necessarily dangerous to your children or anything like that. But that's what we mean when is that a stranger calling you?
That is not a stranger.
I mean, honestly.
It's a spam call.
Says a stranger.
Yeah, and you disconnect it.
Now that's an actual stranger.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go. But I feel like we should change that term to, I don't know, familiar, stranger. I don't know what you'd call that.
Well, we
familiar faces, because that's just it. That's who we are tending to see be more of the, I'd say, threat, and the people we should be, you know, teaching our kids to know what an appropriate relationship looks like with those people.
Yeah, and I think it's on a scale. So if you look at those, when we have those discussions, or us growing up as kids, there were the people that were 100% trusting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that there are some people that we put our trust in and faith in that are not there. But generally speaking, we have that core group of family and close people that are on that trusting level.
Yeah, like a ride or die.
Yeah. And then the other side of the thing, Melissa, we have the typical boogeyman type people.
Right. But nothing that are the in dangers. Between.
Right. So it's those, it's the people that our kids kind of know.
Mm.
And they kind of know them because they encounter them on a regular basis and it's situational or location driven. So an example of that would be the people that check out our or provide the deli meat at the supermarket.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you're there. Now, you're not even thinking that, you know, they're just people that are providing that. You're being kind and friendly, as you always are, to them. But our kids don't think of them as strangers because they are the people that I'm encountering. I mm-hmm. see them in the store. I see them at church. And I'm not even talking like a clergy person. I'm talking about maybe it's the person that collects the pamphlets or
right.
the envelopes if you're Catholic, and or takes the tickets when you go to a movie or
right.
restaurant servers. Those are those people that you kind of know,
mm-hmm.
but they're not strangers. So when we say don't talk to strangers, we're automatically directing them to the boogeymen.
Well, that's just it. We're sort of misdirecting them to know what to recognize. And again, I feel like we have to reiterate that we're not saying don't leave your home and don't, I mean, we were joking when we said don't talk to people. Obviously, that's crazy. But I do think that it kind of gives a disservice, not just to the kids, but even to ourselves of recognizing, well, maybe this is or is not appropriate. I mean, what would you recommend people to do or tools to kind of give our kids to recognize if something is not okay or that you've kind of crossed that line a little bit?
Well, I think it just what we spoke about just now is that there's those kind of know people that are based on situations. So you take a deli clerk that's fine to be friendly. See, we know that our kids are mirroring us, so we don't treat people badly. And so they're not going to either.
Right,
so,
but they're naive.
Well, yeah. Well,
But that's the big difference,
though.
That's right. You have to take that into account.
That's
so
right.
It's funny, Gary, that you say that. And I'm going to rip on myself right now. I feel fine doing that because I think it's a better example than if I rip on other people. We were at the grocery store and there was this little girl who was having dinner with her parents. Yes, we like to eat dinner at Whole Foods
at
sometimes.
At the grocery store?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Have you ever had dinner at Whole Foods?
I don't know whether I have, but
oh
I have
gosh.
at a you know,
okay,
you go on vacation.
Literally
wait, okay.
Take out a pen and paper and make
right.
sure that you put it on your to-do list. You need to go
Got
and
it.
Have, I'm telling you, there's something really nice about it. It's really nice. I don't know. Chase and I were having dinner there and there was a little girl that was sitting a table away from us, adorable, about Chase's age. And she noticed Chase's Mario hat. And so she gets to talking to us a little bit. A little girl. So it's fine. But she asked Chase his name. And he gave his first name. And she goes, will you give me your last name? And he said, no, I don't know you. Now, we got in the car and I said, Chase, that was a little bit rude. You don't have to say that. And he goes, I don't know who she is, Mom.
Yeah,
I'm not giving her my last name. You know what I mean? But that is one of those things because that is a message that we talk about in our house, which is, hey, don't ever feel obligated to just give more than you need to. I mean, be kind.
Yeah.
Say your name. Okay, my age. That's fine. You don't need to give your house address. You don't need to give your phone number. You don't need to give your last name. You don't need to do those things. But if you're not having those conversations, kids kind of think it's innocent. Like they don't even know the weight of those. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
It's true. And so let's play that out a little bit. You go to the grocery store and for dinner. I thought you were asking me whether or not I've ever taken grapes and eaten in the store while shopping. And
oh.
I was reluctant to admit that. But
no, you have.
Of course I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I know you're a cop, but come on. Okay, so yeah, go on.
Yeah, I'll limit it now.
Because you're retired.
statue of limitations or whatever they call that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that it's important to have the conversation. Let's play it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the deli and there's people behind there you're friendly with. You don't even know, you personally don't even know their names.
Right.
I don't know the name of the people that is providing me with the thinly sliced cheese at the grocery store.
Right.
But, so I'm having that interaction and they're witnessing that interaction. And so they kind of know that person.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's play it out where the kids are at the playground or what have you. And lo and behold, the deli person shows up. It's not a stranger. So if we've said, don't talk to strangers, and then you find
that
your kid talking, you find your kid talking to the deli person at the playground and And again, I'm not saying deli people. I'm just using that as a great example because it's so, there's nothing really to it.
It is common. And I think the average person probably does know one or two people in a public setting like that.
So you go, so now your child's talking to the deli person at the playground. And you find out, you grab them, you bring them aside and say, why are you talking to that person? I told you not to talk to strangers. And the answer will be, it's not a stranger. That's the person at the deli.
Right.
And there is the gap that parents don't often understand.
That's the gray area.
Yeah, and we're not talking about that. So we really need to, because that's the area where we say, well, there's the kind of no's, and the kind of no's are okay to be friendly to in certain circumstances. Yeah. Because kind of no's are, you kind of know them either based upon location.
I like that. We'll call them the kind of no's instead.
That's right. Yeah,
it's, and you can talk to them, but you've got to know your limits with them.
So it's two things with the kind of no's. Because the boogeymen are easy. They're coming out of the woods.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Well, and I don't know, from a law enforcement perspective, Gary, aren't we typically seeing, I don't have stats in front of me or anything, but would you say that more of the instances where either children are exploited or you find out that an inappropriate relationship happened, isn't it usually somebody familiar? And we're talking about people in public. I mean, we even see it in families, family friends. You and I, we've discussed that. I mean, I know people who have been taken advantage of by a family friend, somebody who you grew up with, right? I mean, so it's you know, again, the kind of knows or people who are familiar to you.
Yeah,
I think you hear those cases more than the random person driving by kidnapping type of thing, you know?
Yeah, and that is the unique part of it, is the... If let's talk about sexual exploitation, the strangers coming out of the woods are going to disregard, you know, it's that kind of abducting or abduction type scenario that you see. And it doesn't happen a lot, but it, but we know it does happen.
Sure.
The kind of knows, and even on a personal level, sometimes close family people, it's that grooming thing that happens.
Yeah.
So let's take the kind of knows. Well, I kind of know them, and now they're at the playground and we're talking and they're so nice. And then when you see the kind of know again at the deli, they give you an extra slice of roast beef that, hey, take that. It's that grooming that occurs.
Where now you begin to trust.
Yeah.
Or you just don't see red flags.
That's right.
I think that's what it is you sort of gloss over, well, that was kind of strange. And I think that is how, and again, I feel like it's important to be proactive. Obviously, the people who are committing these crimes, they're 100% at fault. But I think it's just good to, you know, prepper to at least be proactive and make sure that it's, you know, we're not on the other side of it saying, oh, I wish I had known, or I wish I had had these conversations with my kids. So I feel like being proactive and kind of recognizing the signs. But what you're saying, Gary, is that the red flags kind of get missed when you're not recognizing, or you're getting, I guess, what'd you call it? Grooming? I don't like that term.
Well,
I hate that.
You don't,
it's
like
creepy.
The grooming?
I think it sounds creepy, but you're right.
Well,
that's what it is called, right? That's what law enforcement calls it.
We do. We call it the grooming
process.
Yeah. It's the developing a, you know, grooming has such a great, it's a great word. Well, it's a terrible act, but it's a great word, because what it is a slow process of building trust to the point where you're establishing a relationship where sometimes people with bad intentions are actually gonna take advantage once they're comfortable, because the boogeyman isn't gonna care. The person who's abducting isn't going to care that you trust them.
A to Z in a second.
That's right. It's that subtleness of doing it. You know, I've had some presentations in front of parents, and that's why this conversation we is an important one, because I've had conversations with parents, large groups of parents, who are concerned about their kids. And from a law enforcement perspective, we want to get out there, get information out. And I'm like, how many people have had that conversation about stranger danger? And all of them raise their hands. But they're missing that one component of the kind of knows. And the kind of knows are probably a more important conversation to have, to say, these are the kind of knows. So let's go down a list. You know, I could see parents sitting down with their kids and saying, hey, let's go down the kind of knows, and whether we know them or not, and kind of say it like, hey, that's the kind of know. And the kind of knows are people, it's okay under certain circumstances, and behavior driven. Like if the, I'm not going to keep using the poor deli people. So
yeah, let's
another,
pick somebody else.
I know. Another
let's
example
pick,
of it.
I don't know, a mail carrier.
A person in a movie who's
sure.
Collecting
I
tickets.
I was saying to Gary that my mom and I were talking the other day about our jeweler who they went to the same jeweler for, 20 years or something, and he retired. And there's now a new person who had bought the place, you know, 2-3 years ago. And we were talking about that. And, you know, this was somebody, yes, we knew his name at least. We did know his name, but they never spent time together. They were not friends, but he would be a kind of no. Where, like, I've seen him in public when I would do events in television back in the day. And if he was there because he lived in town, it was like, yep, I saw him and his wife. I knew who they were. And we'd say hello. But that's a kind of no.
Exactly. You know? Yeah,
so we'll
yeah.
use the jeweler. Although okay, he so was very nice, I promise
jeweler,
you.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a very nice man.
So we should come up with some fake, fictitious careers or something. So we're
I know, because we're not attacking people, I promise.
No, I know, and I think people know that.
Yeah.
So, well, I hope they know that.
That's the cop in you. You're like, listen, let's move on. Let's keep going. We have a schedule.
And
we gotta keep going.
And my thoughts are gone. So just go pull people over for speeding or something, get back to the to the comfort level. So, and it's driven by location and behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take the jeweler. The jeweler is in the jewelry store.
Yeah.
And there's an interaction and it's good. But now take that kind of know out of the store. And the location's different
mm-hmm.
for this kind of know. And the behavior's different.
Because
we're not interacting with a jewelry store person. I'm at the playground now. Oh, there's the person, the kind of know. The kind of no jeweler
mm-hmm.
who's now not providing jewelry to my mom or dad or grandma. They're asking me, hey, how's the swing or whatever? So
right.
it's behavior.
How's school?
And
what
location.
Are you liking? Wait, yeah.
It's behavior
right.
and location for the kind of knows. The kind of knows.
I think that's
are,
important.
Yeah.
Like, I think that tip alone is super helpful.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sitting here jotting down notes and I'm saying, first of all, I think if we had to go through a whole list of kind of knows, I think that would take a day.
Yeah.
But I do think it's just changing your framework, your mind framework, because I think when you recognize that that could be the bigger pool of people, and it, I don't know, what does that conversation look like? So, okay, so I've identified a kind of no. How do you control, how do you get your kids, because before they get to middle school and high school,
yeah.
I think that's an easier conversation, but I think that vulnerable place where grooming does typically happen, how do you address... Take Chase, for example. What would you say to Chase if you're like, hey, okay, this is a kind of no. So what does that mean for him? You know, hey, you can only talk about this, this, and this. Or, hey, like, recognize if this makes you feel weird. Like, what do you say to a kid about a kind of no?
Well, I think it would we'd use us as an example. Because
mm-hmm.
it's hard sometimes, even when they're kids, we think talking to them is going to matter. And then doing something
Speak
different.
Speak for yourself, Gary.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
But I think that, we have to talk to them, but also with them.
Yeah.
I think it would be, you know, I really like that jeweler or I like that person. And I look at them as that kind of no person. I wouldn't really, I know you see me talking and I'm very friendly. I wouldn't be friendly with them outside the jewelry store.
Mm.
Maybe it's that kind of component of saying that, you know, if you ever meet these people outside of that, just let me know because that's not a relationship that I have.
We're not
them.
Actually friends.
Yeah.
Like I think we're also afraid to say that. So I had an argument with my kid about this because he's in the age where everybody's his best friend. And I finally sat down with him and I'm like, will you please stop saying that? Because they're not all your best friends. You can't have 17 best friends.
But that's a big
friends.
Deal when you're a kid.
I know, but I said to him, I go, do you understand you're devaluing a best friend? And we really sat down and we defined what that was. And when I did, he got it. He was like, oh, I could see why this would actually hurt my actual best friend's feelings, or, oh, I could see that. No, I wouldn't rely on this person, but I could always rely on this one. And I feel like that those are conversations that even would make sense about a kind of, like, yeah, I love seeing the jeweler, but I wouldn't say we're friends, sweetie.
Yeah,
I don't know
right.
if I
that's
would
right.
say, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think even just taking that second of being like, this is not a friend of mine.
Yeah, and we know that each...
It's okay. It doesn't mean you have to be mean to them, but it's I'm not inviting you over for Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're
it's
not
so
in that
important
realm.
To define who your best friends are. I mean, my kids are still asking me, who's your best friend?
Are
like,
you
that's
asking
a big
me to
deal.
Tell
me?
Yes, Gary's one of my best friends. Is that what you needed?
No, yeah.
I
did.
You needed that.
But I think that... as a kid, that's important.
Yes.
And when you go somewhere and they see somebody, it's important. So I think that... I think having the discussion in each of us knows that our style of parenting and our kids will be receptive at different levels. But you start with just this concept of kind of knows.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to talk about stranger danger. It's out there and it makes sense and it rhymes. So it's easy. Oh, I've had the discussion, stranger danger.
Right. I did my
this
job.
This is a little tougher to say, hey, you know what? I've just realized that there's this in-between people.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to kind of have it that the in-between people are the people that I kind of know. They're not friends of mine. I kind of know them, but I kind of know them in this place.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see them somewhere else, I don't know them in that situation, so I'm not necessarily as open to that. And you have to be not as open to that as well. So having those, you know, I remember when I would go out as a kid, my mother would always say, don't talk to strangers, because it's easy, isn't
it? Right, right.
Don't talk to strangers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we start having the conversations and introducing the, just remember the kind of knows. They're the kind of
knows. Yeah, they're the I kind like of that. Mm-hmm.
They're not the people that are going to pull up. You know, people talk about having code words and how to make sure if your kid's going to be picked up, we have a code word, and I get all that. And it's important under the circumstances, but I do think that the kind of know conversation has to be had. And hopefully they, you know, people will listen to this and kind of get that concept that they kind of know. It's like they kind of know us.
Yeah.
They kind of know us, but they don't.
I also feel like, Gary, the idea of, you know, putting a list together of kind of knows, I think is important. Also, I would think the list of so we have a list of non-negotiables. So I've literally taught my son to make up a street name if somebody asks you for it. He will make it up. He will even make up where he lives, like the town and everything.
I love that.
He will make it up. He will totally do it. We've literally been on vacation and people will say, where are you from? And he picks a totally different state, never says Connecticut. And we've taught him that. But we have a list of non-negotiables. And I've always said, if a police officer, if a firefighter, if somebody with an ambulance, you know, there are certain people, if they ask you, where do you live or what is your number, that's a non-negotiable. Now, I don't even know if that's good. Is that good information? Is that a good
thing? Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, right? Yes. Because I'm just thinking if he gets lost or something and a cop is like, where are you from? I feel like he shouldn't be like, I don't know, I'm not talking to you. Like,
yeah, or make up an address.
Right, right, because then you're on a wild goose chase.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's that's a good approach too, which is, hey, if you get asked a question that is personal information, what is personal information, right? I mean, even your last name is personal information.
Sure.
So I think even understanding that and being like, let's identify what is considered personal and then who's a non-negotiable, who absolutely you can give that information to.
That's right.
You know, because we've even said if somebody comes to school, a friend of ours, you know, hey, I need you to grab Chase from school with your kids. There are only two non-negotiable parents, like you said, who I've said, you know, Chase, you could share your life with them and I know you're good with them. But if any other parent or friend or, hey, you know, you had a play date with my kid last year, don't you remember? Yep, I do.
That's right.
That's not a non-negotiable. Right. You know what I mean? So I think those are two also like buckets of conversations you could have, which are what are like actual personal questions that you don't have to answer, but also who's your list of non-negotiables?
Exactly. And with the kind of knows, it's like the acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
It's also behavior driven. So we still have to have the conversation to say what's appropriate behavior and what's not appropriate behavior.
What is? Like, in your opinion, where's that line?
Well, the line is that a kind of know is a person that if they're coming up to you and they're asking personal questions, that's inappropriate. And we have to teach our kids that's if they're asking personal things about you, just because I say hi to them in the store doesn't mean that I'm going to give that information.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to leave. Because
mm-hmm.
the kind of knows under any circumstances, but when you're with me, is something that you have to kind of recognize that it's not appropriate to have those conversations.
I would think also if there is a situation where you take the interaction away from the public, and what I mean by that is social media or texting, I feel like that's a huge component too, because that can get really shady of, oh, you know, you've got, I love following you on Instagram. Oh, I found you on Facebook. And again, that's a kind of no.
Yeah.
But now you've taken out of the equation you being able to even see it. So you're talking about in public, I see my kid talking to somebody on the playground, fine. But especially once they get into middle and high school, a lot of the times you are out of the equation. You are not there. So those conversations are happening offline, if you will, but there's no oversight. And
that's,
I feel like you gotta... That could be a red flag, too, of almost like, hey, if this person, if they kind of know, like, I'd make that a golden rule. Let's make that a golden rule. Forget don't talk to strangers. The golden rule should be if a kind of know
mm-hmm.
friends you on social media or asks to swap numbers, you should tell me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because, right?
Yeah.
That's a good golden rule.
There it is. It doesn't rhyme like Stranger Danger.
Me?
That's it.
I don't care.
You've established a golden rule.
Do you
whether how does that get to be a golden rule? Is like there a
committee
of golden rule people?
No, I feel like if anybody could pass that, probably be you. Well, no, neither of us are lawmakers. We can't pass anything. But I do think that's a better golden rule than don't talk to strangers.
Exactly, and I think the issue becomes this: predators, not the boogeyman, not the strangers.
Mm-hmm.
Predators don't feel like strangers to our kids because they are grooming, because they're being friendly, and they are setting the stage for the future. And sometimes the kind of knows have an advantage to that because our kids kind of know them already. So I'm going to be as friendly as I can as the kind of knows. I'm going to say hi. So I'm going to get to know Chase's name. And so when I see him somewhere else, I'm going to say hi and walk
or
by.
I know he loves Mario, so I'm going to bring him
exactly.
a Mario shirt.
That's right. Yeah. So predators don't appear to be strangers to our kids. And if we're only saying strangers, stranger danger, then we're missing all of the really true predators that are out there trying to groom. I know you hate the word, but trying to groom our kids and hurt them ultimately down the line. And predators are patient. And unfortunately, they're very good at what they do because they cast a wide net and they are oftentimes very friendly and outgoing as it is. So they're going to be in positions where they're going to start to groom our kids and they're not strangers.
Right.
Our kids, they're not strangers.
Right, exactly. So I think if you've learned anything, you should just make a new golden rule, which is if the kind of knows reach out to you. And they want to spend, I don't know, what was my golden rule was that if they reach out to you and they want to take your interaction offline, you should tell me.
Yeah.
But I
yeah.
feel like there were a couple little things there.
There is. There's.
Identify the kind of no's.
Yep.
Identify the non-negotiables.
Right.
Understand what personal information is so you can recognize that. And then if they want to take the interaction offline, tell me.
Yeah. If you see a kind of no's
somewhere
else.
That was a multi-pronged golden rule.
That's a whole list.
It's
a golden book.
That's a golden book.
We've established the golden book.
Wow.
But those little things are. I mean, recognize that as parents that you really have to have the conversation about the kind of no's. Because the kind of no's are potentially more harmful to our kids than the outright strangers running out of the woods and abducting them. The kind of no's are school bus drivers. The kind of no's are people that work in the schools and the churches. Cops are kind of no's. You kind of know them. You know, I know that obviously they're professional and you would think that, but we got to just have those conversations that kind of no's are great under certain circumstances, under certain behaviors. Predators are always behavior driven. We know that. So no matter who they are, family members, strangers are kind of no's. The behaviors are if they're making you feel uncomfortable or they're asking you questions or they're continuing to harass you or ask you and become closer to you, we need to know that. But then also we need to know that to have that discussion about kind of know.
You've been listening to The Beat and the Badge on WICC 600 and 95.9. For complete episodes, listen to the podcast at voiceofct.com.